Sermon title today is Be Filled with His Spirit. We've got quite a bit of ground to cover, so that's why I wanted to get started. Do you know that God wants to not only indwell the believer with His Spirit, but that He also wants to infill the believer with His Spirit? When we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, He then comes to dwell within each and every one of our lives. But we can also be infilled, baptized in the Spirit. And we're going to talk about that today and explain it to you, the difference. Many times you've heard me say that the Lord's number one goal in your life is for you to be saved. The Lord's number two goal in your life is for you to be transformed into the image of Jesus. And each and every one of us is going through that process. The Word says that we are sanctified by His Spirit and we are sanctified by His Word. So the more that we sit under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the more He cleanses us, the more He separates us, the more that we spend time in the Word, the more that He cleanses us, the more He separates us from the world and drawing us ever closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, transforming us into the very image of the Lord Jesus. Sanctification is an ongoing work that He's doing in each and every one of our lives. And I don't believe there's any water walkers on here yet today. But when you can walk on water, you can say, I'm there. I'm there. I'm now like Jesus. But each and every one of us is going through that process. But I also believe that there is another goal, and that is for you as a believer to be endued with power from on high. So the question is, why? And what's the difference? Many want to bring the two experiences together as being one meaning. When I accepted Christ, I received the indwelling and I received the infilling or the baptism of the Holy Spirit at the same time. But we see that from the Scripture it points to us that there's two different things that take place in our life and two different times that we will receive the indwelling. But there is another opportunity for us to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit and the difference that there is between the two. But when the Holy Spirit came, He came with a two-pronged purpose. Number one, to indwell the believer for the individual personal development to transform you into the image of Christ. And number two, to infill or to endue with power from on high for ministry to the body of Christ. There's two different things that are going on there. And many people, that they want to pull them all together. And they want to say, and you ask them, have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Yeah, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit when I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. And the answer really is no, you did not. It may have happened, but in most cases it doesn't. In most cases we receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It may be shortly after, maybe the same day, or maybe a week, maybe 2 years later on down the road, seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then we will, at that time, receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And I want to bring this all to before you today to explain it so you walk out of the church and that you have a good understanding of what's going on. So the infilling endued from power on high is also called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. First, let's look at the first prong work of the Holy Spirit, and that's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to John chapter 14. John 14 and verse 16. In John 14... in verse 16, we read verses 16 through 18. So John 14, verse 16, he says, and I pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus is not only with you, He is in you. Every place that you go, everywhere you go, the Lord Jesus is with you because you have the indwelling of that Holy Spirit because He lives within you. The Holy Spirit sets up resident in our lives. His Spirit indwells our lives. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper that He may abide with you forever. Verse 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. He, the Holy Spirit, will be what? With us and in us. Now look at John chapter 16 and verse 7. In John 16 and verse 7, it says this, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage. The old King James Version would say, it is expedient that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come in you, but if I depart, I will send Him to you. You remember that in the Old Testament, you were saved under the law. And then it came to the time of Jesus that He walked this earth. But where does the church live today? We live in the church age. We live during the time of the dispensation of grace, the period of grace. We live under the time and the period of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is no longer walking this earth in person. He's walking this earth in the Spirit, all over this earth. Universal. He says, greater things that you will do that I will never do. Well, now how in the world could we ever do greater things than what Jesus did? Not quality, but quantity. And if you think about the quantity of people that we can reach because the Spirit of God is universal, think of the thousands and the millions that have come to know Jesus after Jesus left because of the power and the anointing of the presence of the Holy Spirit. I don't think Jesus ever walked over 300 miles in His ministry in one way. Which, don't let me tell you, I'm not saying that's a small thing because I don't want to walk 300 miles. But His ministry was limited to what? His presence. But His ministry isn't limited to His presence anymore. Because we are the bearers of the Holy Spirit. We are the bearers of the Holy Spirit. That wherever we go, we're taking Jesus with us. When you go into the workplace, you're taking Jesus with you. I heard a minister say this last week. He said, you know what? Let me give you an example. He says, if Jesus come walking in those back doors, and He walked up to the center of this aisle, and He said, I would like to go home with somebody for dinner today. The minister said, let me tell you, I'm telling you, He's going home with me. Now, everybody's going to think that, but he says, I'll pull out my pastor card. I'm the pastor. He's going home with me. But the challenge is for you to know and for you to understand that when you leave this place today, Jesus goes with you right out the door. Because wherever you go, Jesus is in your life. No matter what you're involved in, no matter what you're doing, after you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have His Spirit indwelling in you. He says, I will not only be with you, I will be in you. In you. Now, chapter 16 of John, verse 17, or verse 7, it brings out the word comforter. In chapter 14, verse 17, it said, the Spirit of truth. And verse 16 said, the Helper. Chapter 16 and verse 13 says, the Spirit of truth. Verse 13, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you on all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. So in all these words are descriptive names explaining the work of the Holy Spirit and that is indwelling your life. He is the Spirit of truth. He is a comforter. He is the Helper. His work is to teach, to comfort, to guide, and to convict the unsaved worldwide to help you develop your relationship that you have with the Lord Jesus Christ. That work of transforming you into the image of Jesus, He's here to help you. He's here to guide you. He's here to comfort you when you need comfort. Let's read on. John chapter 16, verse 7. Verse 7 says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. But when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Verse 13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take that it is mine, and declare it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore I said that he will take of mine, and he will declare it unto you. Chapter 15, verse 26 and 27. It says, and when the Helper comes, when I send in, I shall send to you from the Father the Spirit of truth, who precedes me from the Father. He will testify of me, and you will also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. At the finished work of the cross, Christ left the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit come after he left. The first prong is to indwell those believers, working to transform them into the image of Jesus, your personal development in Christ. Think about that. In each and every one of your lives, you've got a personal development program going on in your life by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And if you will listen to Him as a guide, as a teacher, as a director, He's going to personally develop you and direct you into a deeper, more intimate relationship with the Heavenly Father. John chapter 14 and verse 12. John 14 verse 12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I will do, he will do also. Greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father, because the Holy Spirit would be working worldwide. From the indwelling Spirit's personal development, the fruits of the Spirit are developed in each believer's life. So what comes out? What comes out of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? And I've always explained it this way, that from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit flows the fruits of the Spirit. So if you turn with me to Galatians, turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. You should be getting a kick out of this, because there's many people in our church that's never been taught this in their whole entire life. So you should be learning new things in your life. And for us that have believed this and we walked in it and we trusted in it, it should be a resounding echo in your heart and in your life today. But when you turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, Galatians 5 and verse 22, this is the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faith. Are you listening to the Holy Spirit? Are you listening to the indwelling of the Spirit? He's going to lead you. Remember, the fruits of the Spirit is not something you produce, but something He produces through you. He is the vine, John chapter 15, I believe, that we are the branches. The branches don't produce fruit. You ever had a fruit tree? The branch never produced anything. It's the vine. It's the trunk. It's the root system that produces the fruit. The branches just display it. You are the displayers of what God is doing in your life as the fruits of the Spirit. Are you exhibiting in your life, when you look at the Scripture, for the fruit of the Spirit is love? Are you exhibiting love? Are you a loving person? As a Christian, we should always exhibit love. We should exhibit joy. Christians should be the most joyous people that you will ever run into in your whole entire life, because they're the only ones that's got an answer, and they're the only ones that's got a destination. They know where they're going to go. Peace, the long-suffering, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. For those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in what? Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in that Spirit that He's got indwelling in each and every one of your lives. You know you're a child of God. How? Because the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And because you have that Spirit that is indwelling in your life, call upon that Spirit always to guide you, to direct you, to lead you, to comfort you, to bless you with peace. And too many times Christians don't. We have the author and finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, not only on the pointing at the cross that He's there, He's in my heart and He's in your heart. And because He's in your heart, He wants to transform you into the image of Jesus, to walk in the peace of Jesus, to walk in the joy of the Lord, to walk in all those things. And you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that's going to lead you on that personal quest in your own personal relationship that you have with Him. No more is needed. What does it say? When you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, he that believes in his heart and confesses with his mouth, they will be saved. You're sealed to the day of redemption. No more is needed. Let me say that again. No more is needed. There's not anything else you have to do. And you should never question the salvation the Lord has blessed you with, because by faith you made that statement. I confess you, I believe in my heart, Lord, and I confess you with my mouth. Never to question my salvation again. Only Satan wants you to question your salvation. But nothing else needs to be accomplished at that point in time, because you're saved. But there's more available. There's more available. The second prong of the work of the Holy Spirit, remember, the first prong is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The second prong of the work of the Holy Spirit is to take that same believer who has the indwelling of the Spirit and endue them with power from high, baptizing them in the Holy Spirit. For what purpose? For ministry. You say, well, I'm not going to be a minister. I have no desire to seek that. I have no desire to gain that, because I'm not a minister. Yes, you are. Everyone that walked in that door today, you're a minister of the gospel. You take Jesus wherever you go. And if you're not ministering to the outside world, when you come in the door, you minister to each other. And when you minister that love and that grace and that joy in other people's lives, that is the ministry of exhortation, and we need to lift each other up. So don't anyone ever walk out of here thinking, I am not a minister of the gospel. You are a minister of the gospel. You do the work of reconciliation. You are an ambassador for Christ, the Word tells us. He wants to empower them for the ministry to and for the body of Christ. Now, turn with me to Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, and verse 11 says this. This is John the Baptist, one crying in the wilderness. And he says, I indeed baptize you with water and repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with what? The Holy Spirit and fire. The Holy Spirit and fire. Now turn with me also to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, and the being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for what? The promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, that for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has put in his own authority, but listen to this, but you shall receive power. Dunamis, we've talked about that many times before. That is the Greek word where we get the word dynamite. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Power to witness, to be filled with the dynamite power of God. Has that happened in your life? Because I can tell you that Pastor Leo was never the same after that happened to me. Never the same. And I will never be the same. What do you think made me a preacher? It wasn't the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, no matter how much I loved God. I knew that there was something else that was available to me. It was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what made me a preacher. And from the day I received it, I was ready to preach the gospel. You see, that's what he wanted to do with these believers. It wasn't going to be just enough to bless them with peace and comfort and joy from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He was going to have to power them up. He was going to have to power them up. Because otherwise the gospel about today would just be written and read about in the history books. Think about it. Think about just you accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and now it's up to you to take the gospel to the world. You couldn't do that on your own. You can't do that on your own. We can't do it ourselves anyway. It's the power of the Holy Ghost that does that. He told them, wait for the promise of the Father because it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. And he saw those individuals, those disciples that were weak and didn't have any strength. He had to think, boy, I'm going to hand this off to them, Lord. I don't know how in the world they're ever going to take the gospel to the world. And the Lord says, because I'm going to power them up. I'm going to power them up. This gospel, this word will not be shut down. It will not be stopped. Power to be witnesses. They were commanded to wait for the promise of the Father. Now turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting, and there appeared to them divided tongues of as a fire, and one sat upon each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Skip down to verse 5. It says, and they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in their own language. They were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are these all not Galileans? Are not they all that we hear, each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites. These dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya, adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues, the wonderful works of God. So they are amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever does this mean? Others mocking, saying that they're drunk. Who brought that up? The adversary. Ignore that. That's not from God. People accuse them of being drunk. They are full of new wine. But Peter's response in verse 14, listen to his response. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea, all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days. Are we in the last days? Yes, we are. Then I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Is God still pouring out His Spirit upon flesh today? Yes, He is. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and the old men shall dream dreams. And on my manservants and on my maidservants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Let me share it with you this way. The indwelling of the Spirit is the imparting of God's Spirit with you and in you when you accept Him. The infilling of the baptism of the Spirit is the pouring out of His Spirit. The immersing of you in the Spirit of God. From the indwelling flow the fruits of the Spirit, and from the baptism of the Spirit flow the gifts of the Spirit. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians. I'm keeping you longer today, but it's okay. I won't do it very often. 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. It's important that you understand this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we pick up reading at verse 3. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is the Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. This gift, this baptism, is a gift to profit all of the body of Christ. You know how much Christ loves you? He not only loves you so much that He gave His life on Calvary so you could have life today, He loves you so much that He will not leave you comfortless. He's going to come to you. He's not only going to be with you, He's going to be in you to bring comfort and joy and peace and patience. And that is not doesn't stop there. He loves you so much, He's going to empower your life so you can minister in the body of Christ. The greatest gift was given to all of mankind, and all they had to do was receive it. He says in verse 8, for one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. For one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills it. To profit all, to minister to all. I told you earlier, preachers like me, there's not getting to be very many more of them, is there? And I'm getting older, and a lot of the ministers that you listen to on the radio have all already passed on and gone on to glory. We need young people that are raised up in the power of the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, evidenced by speaking in tongues to raise them up. You know what the problem is in the Church of America? We have decided we no longer need God and we can do this on our own. And what's taking place in America? Church closing by the thousands. We talked about that last week. 20 years ago, we had a pastor's conference, and at that time we were with the Four Square Church, which is a Pentecostal fellowship, and they said in that conference, within 10 years, the Pentecostal churches will no longer be teaching and preaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And many of them are not doing that today. What do they rely on? They rely on music. They don't depend on moving people by the Spirit of God. They depend on moving people by their emotions. Churches no longer depend on their the churches now depend on music, holding people in their church by an emotional high instead of a spiritual anointing. And then don't get me wrong. There is anointed music and there is anointed worship teams. But there are so many of them out there that are not anointed. All they do is put good music together so people can dance to and people can move to, and they leave after church and said, you know what, I've really been moved by the Spirit of God, and it was never the Spirit of God that moved them, it was the sound of music that moved them. I don't want you to come here to be moved by me. I don't want you to come here and be moved by my singing. I want you to come to the house of the Lord to be moved by the power of God. His anointing on your life to change. A church that doesn't have the power of God doesn't have anything. I don't want you to come to church to feel my presence. I want you to come to feel God's presence. We need young people filled with the Holy Spirit, called to the ministry, preachers preaching in the power of the Holy Ghost. One last scripture. Mark chapter 16. And then I've got a question for you. Mark chapter 16. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, we get to the end of the chapter, the book of Mark, and we come to the Great Commission. Verse 15 says this, and He said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Now listen to the signs. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will no means hurt them. They will lay on hands on the sick and they will recover. Now, I can tell you that what I have shared with you today is very, very important in your spiritual life. Number one, you need to be saved. And when you're saved, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That is the most important thing, important step you will ever make in your whole entire life, is that you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But to explain to you so you understand what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that is available to you. And there are many preachers out there, and there's many denominations would disagree with what I'm saying. There's many that do, and there's many that support it, but there's many out there. Many of you came from those denominations that would not support that. But let me ask you the question. Everybody that we talk about the denominations, and I don't care if we're talking about a Pentecostal, a Word Church, a Baptist Church, a Methodist Church, a Church of Christ, the Christian Church, all believe that this is the Great Commission. Now listen to the words in the Great Commission. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. How are you going to do that in your own strength? You don't. No one is healed by man. But you're healed by the power of God. You see, there's two different things we're talking about here that many people just want to put it all together. Well, Jesus came and the Holy Spirit came and that's it. That's it. There's no more. There's lots of more. There's lots of more. That's not very good English, but there's lots of more with God. And I don't care if you're saved and I don't care if you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you today, there's lots of more with God. No matter where you are at. You haven't reached a pinnacle of success with your Lord and Savior today that say, I've got it. I've got all the merit badges. I won every one of them. And now I'm a Christian and there's no more I can receive from God. You have only touched the surface of what's available to us from God. Now let me ask you, John the Revelator in the book of Revelation says what? He says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. You think he was just talking about the indwelling of the Spirit that he was in on the Lord's day? I believe that he was under the anointing power of the Holy Ghost on the Lord's day. That's what he meant when he said he was in the Spirit. I want you to have what I have. I'm going to teach you everything that I possibly can, and I got to move on from this because I got a lot more that I want to teach you. I got a lot more that I want to preach about. I got a lot more that God wants for you, but you've got to know that this is true. It's for you. God wants you to be filled with His power. He wants you to be filled with His Spirit. There's nothing more that He would like to do than anoint you with the Holy Ghost. You want more prayer? You want more faith to have in your prayer? You want to have a stronger walk with the Lord? You want to have the witness to be able to witness and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ as never before? Then I say be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because He'll do that in your life. He will do that. He wants to do that. He wants to power you up. You know, I had this image in my mind. It was like the Lord Jesus, He was sitting down at the right-hand side of the Father in heaven, and He looks at His Father, and it's like back in World War II, He's got this great big plunger, and there's a wire that goes all the way down into the upper room, into those believers. And that wire, each one of them has got a piece of dynamite. And the Lord Jesus says, the Lord looks at him, He says, is all things ready? He says, yeah, they're all ready, Father. I told them to wait for the promise of the Father. And the Lord says, light them up. And He pushes that plunger down. It was an explosion. Fire come down on each one of their heads. Hallelujah. I believe when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, He puts about that much dynamite in your life. And when you receive the baptism, He hits a plunger and He lights you up for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pastor Leo will never be the same. I'm 66 years old and I'm just getting started. God is so good. He loves you so much. Hallelujah. Leo, you better calm down. God wants that for you. You know, some people say, well, it's gifts from ministry. Only preachers get it. That's not true. We're all ministers. If you want stronger faith in your prayer life, you need it. Well, how do you receive it? By asking the Lord for it. I've seen people weep for it. I've seen people tarry for it. I've seen wait on it and wait on it, wait on it. All you got to do is receive it. He wants to give it to you. It's a gift that He wants to give to you. And that's all it is a gift. There's not anything else you need to do other than know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The next step is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He wants to light your life up for the gospel. He wants that line shining in your life so bright that you don't get discouraged. You walk a walk of faith all times because He loves you so much. Lord, we receive Your gift today. We receive Your gift. What did I tell you earlier? There's not anything else you have to do. I've had Baptists attend my church, be members in our church, Methodist, Christian, Church of Christ. I've had people that have attended our church for years and years and said, you know what, I don't think that's for me, because they were scared of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, evidenced by speaking in tongues. And you know what, that's okay. If you want to come here every Sunday and watch a preacher be fired up for the gospel, then you'll come and join us. You want to go to a church where they're just going through the motions, you can find those too. But if you want to come somewhere where you feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and I pray that every one of you will not leave here the same, you felt God's anointing in your life today, then this is a place for you. Whether you receive it or not, there's no second-class citizens. Nobody's better than somebody else just because they received the baptism or they haven't received the baptism. We're all under God's grace. He loves each and every one of us. But to receive it is just to receive it and say, Lord, I receive Your baptism in the Holy Spirit. And it's evidence because God speaks it here and you speak it out here. That's all it is. It's an act of submission. It's an act of faith that you speak the words. When you were saved, what did you need to do? You believed in your heart. What did it tell you to do? Confess with your mouth. When you get healed, there's an act of faith of receiving in faith that you're healed. In the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there's an act of faith that God, I will submit my voice to You. I will submit my life to You. I will even submit my tongue to You. And whatever You speak in here, I'm going to speak it out here. It could be the tongues of men or the tongues of angels. Whatever God speaks. It's not about the tongues. It's about the power. The evidence of the power in your life. Now we're going to close in prayer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You today in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your presence. And we thank You for Your anointing. We pray that, Father, everyone that came out today, we're blessed by Your presence and by Your abiding comfort and by Your anointing today. I pray for those that are going to leave that, Father, Your blessings would be upon their life, and I pray that You would open the windows of heaven and You would pour out Your blessings upon them and their family. And I ask this all today in Jesus' name. Amen.